Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, y'all. The Warriors won last night, and Steve Kerr is going to join us in exactly 1 hour. And yes, YouTube, he will be on video again, because Steve is like that. Now, I promised this answer, and I didn't forget, even though it was 45 minutes ago or more. Austin in San Jose called in, and he asked, and I think that this is clearly directed at me, which is fine. But he asked, after a Kuminga performance like we saw last night, are you now going to put some of the blame on Steve Kerr? And I'm going to shock everybody by saying, no.
No, not Kerr.
I don't see this as a blame situation. Why would we do that? So that's the first way I'm going to answer it. Why does it, when something evolves forward, is that an immediate reaction to go, now let's look at where it went wrong before? I think that's revisionist history. Like, to say, in other words, the implication is, if you're blaming Steve Kerr, the implication is that the performance that Jonathan gave last night has been there for the taking all along. If you think that, come on, you don't think that, do you? Do you? I don't think Jonathan thinks that. That's not what he said. That's not why he's grinding with Jimmy Butler, looking at tape, trying to be, as he called it, a sponge. I mean, like, to me, last night, especially in the second half, because I did not love the shot selection in the first half. I liked the effort. The shot selection still, to me, often felt off. The second half, phenomenal basketball. Just tremendous basketball. And if the Warriors have that from the whole group, they're going to win lots of basketball games this year. But I don't find this to be a blame situation. But secondarily, and I get it, we understand the dynamic, I don't think that this is about Jonathan. This is all basketball players. Teams have a system, and the players need to go run the system. And so if any player starts to run the system and starts to make really good decisions and starts to do all the things that a team asks him to do, then that's great. And all of a sudden, the performance is going to get better. If he is such a young basketball player that's so inexperienced, and he is, even though he's been in the league for 5 years, if we're going to talk about that inexperience, then we have to be open for his own personal growth and education as an NBA basketball player. I don't think that something can happen today and that automatically means it was all there all along. That doesn't make sense to me, through my eyes at least.
For me, you look at last year, which was last year. And if you want to go pre-injury, pre-Jimmy Butler, you can look at how he played. And he played differently than he did last night. Last night, he played well within the construct of what they want him to do. And I disagree with the idea of his shot selection in the first half. He took 6 shots, and there was one where he got in the key early in the shot clock and he did a spin, half spin from 12 feet, and he was guarded and there was a second defender there. And that's one you probably would want him to be patient on because that shot's there 12 seconds later in the shot clock. That's the only one. He had a couple of threes that he took that were open. He had a deep three that I was like, in the moment, I was thinking, oh no, oh yes. And he drilled it. And the other miss he had was on a follow slam where I can't believe he missed that dunk.
I mean,
he went up high for the rebound and he just missed the dunk.
That's a physical thing.
What I saw from him in the first half was at least two times where he got into the painted area, into the key, and instead of doing the things that we've all been wanting him to not do, he was under control. He stopped and he pitched it back. He pitched it back to Pods, who pump fake and hit a three. He pitched one back to Steph, who hit a three. That, to me, was the area offensively where I saw immediate growth of, yeah, you go headlong into an area, and you're not able to get to the rim, and so he was able to collect and realize that there was a pitch out, and he did that.
Steve referenced multiple decisions in the first half that he did not like from Jonathan Kuminga. So I don't think I'm like flying off the handle here to say.
Yeah, we'll ask him at five.
Yeah, I mean, last night, Steve Kerr.
I think he's really, really matured. He's had a great camp. We've had some really good conversations. I think he has a better understanding of, what we need. He saw in the first half, he took a couple of tough mid-range fadeaways that we don't want. He immediately held up his hand. He realized, that was not the shot. He had, a couple turnovers where he drove into traffic. And second half starts, and, the whole talk at halftime was, let's use Steph Curry. Let's use his movement and put pressure on the defense, because we didn't do that in the first half. And Jonathan, the first few plays of the third quarter, it was beautiful. He screened for Steph, slipped to the rim. Draymond got him a bucket. We ran our split cut stuff. They both went with Steph. He hit the wide open three. I think he just has a better sense of what's needed now compared to past years. And
so that's great. To me, that's what I saw too. It wasn't only shot selection. It was certain decisions. And he referenced dribbling into traffic and turning it over. Like, to me,
which actually it didn't happen. I don't know if he's thinking about like plays where maybe somebody else was charged with the turnover.
Yeah, you're talking about being credited with the turnover.
Sure.
He's talking about plays where decisions were made that led to a poor possession. Again, what's wonderful about this is that didn't lead to, oh, you're getting yanked out of the game, and then Jonathan is either sort of like upset or confused about what happened, or he's bucking. The best part of that commentary to me is that Jonathan immediately raised his hand and showed the coach, like, no, I know, my bad. Then we're good here. Everybody's going to turn the ball over. Everybody's going to have bad decisions. Everyone's going to have bad shots. If Jonathan is clear on what those are, what the good ones are and what the bad ones are, then that's great. That's great. And all you can ask for is what happened, that he came out in the second half and played one of my favorite halves I've ever seen him play. He was fantastic in the second half, literally from the word go. And they went on a run coming out of the locker room that put the game away almost immediately.
Yeah, and I wonder,
that's what you want.
And I'm going to ask Steve today about kind of a Kyle Shanahan thing. Like, do you come out and did you script the first couple? Because if you look at the opening sequence of the second half, the first play is a Kuminga screen, and he just fades out to the three-point line. He gets the ball, and he hits the three. And then either the next trip or the second trip down, he goes to set the same screen, and he slips it, which means he doesn't actually set the screen. It's like a pretend. It's almost like play action, where you go to set the screen, and then boop, you cut to the hoop. And yep. It was clearly designed because Draymond, he's dribbling and he's waiting for it. And JK slips it and it's a bounce pass. And then JK finishes at the hoop. And I'm going to ask Steve if, that was a design. Did you come out of the locker room and, Shanahan, I don't know if you saw, I know that you probably saw every little bit of everything. You watch every game a couple of times. But when he came out of the locker room, he had the laminated play sheet, but he also had a piece of like binder paper on which it looked like was written the first six or eight plays of the second half. So when you go into the locker room in the NFL, you do a little bit of a rescript, especially when you're going to get the ball. And so I wonder if Steve Kerr similarly comes out of the second half.
I don't know.
And has like, you know what, let's run these couple. Not that we need to like spoon feed JK, you don't, but maybe those plays were like by design for JK.
Let's go back out to the phones. B in San Jose is next up. Hi, B, thanks for the call. What's up?
Willard and Dibs, just like Steiny and Guru, you're both doing a great job.
B, so are you.
I'm doing my best, man.
Not bad.
But I want to think about, you know, the things that actually Dibs was bringing up right now about the maturation and just the overall patience that it seems like Kuminga is using now, at least just in this first game that we saw, to approach his impact on the court. And really, I don't think he needs to dominate the ball like fans and sometimes other folks in the basketball analyst world seem to think he needs to do in order to be an impactful player. He just really needs to dominate the activity of what's going on in the play. And I would highlight both the lob he threw to Butler in the first half, where he was patient to see Jimmy cutting. And then, to borrow, Dibs, I know Guru, that's your boy, and you like to, you know, rib him a little bit with the ha-ha and the skeet-skeet. But it was right on that play that was under a minute to go in the first half where Kuminga had the ball, he was getting inside the three-point line, and he could have went with the ha-ha and the skeet-skeet. But instead, he more so went with the hey-hey and stay on your feet. Because he shimmied on his defender, got his defender to bite a little bit, as well as the defender that was guarding Pods. That defender got drawn in, he kicked it to Pods, and Pods patiently let that defender fly by and canned a three-pointer. And usually it's been, I remember, you know, just different times in previous years with Kuminga, especially in those plays where it's like under a minute, and I think he maybe feels the pressure, he gets the ball, like, got to create, got to get this bucket before the half runs out, or got to get the two-for-one, right? So he sort of kind of forces the action or tries to really, like I said, dominate the ball and dominate the play. But that felt like more so he was in control and dominated the activity, which led to good results.
I think activity is a great word. That's because that's what I did see for four quarters was like that effort. And at least you're trying. You could tell he's trying to do what the team asked him to do, at least on the defensive end, rebounding the basketball. The activity level was out there. I mean, all in all, the whole thing adds up to a really great first night for the Warriors. Steve Kerr at 5. I'd like to make a point about Jimmy Butler coming up next. But what did you all see? What's your number one takeaway from last night? We'll keep taking your calls until Steve gets here. 888-957-9570. Your calls right now. We're sponsored by Surfside. The Golden State Warriors are back. Cheer on your Dubs with an ice-cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. So easy to sip and enjoy. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. And you can see us live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Just search 95.7 The Game and make sure to subscribe.
But it'd be a lot cooler if you don't just dial us up on YouTube, but you stay until 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
40 minutes from now, Steve Kerr will be on the show. We'll be on YouTube. YouTube.com/95.7 The Game. The Warriors are 1-0. They defeat the Lakers. Tony Vitello is the new manager of the Giants. That is worthy of its own conversation, which we'll have throughout the week. The San Francisco 49ers back to practice today. Brock Purdy limited. Sounds like it's trending toward Mac Jones, Ricky Pearsall, D'Amador Lenore, among those who did not practice, though Kyle did not close the door on Pearsall getting back at some point this week. I want to say this about Jimmy Butler, because I think today is the perfect day to say it. Jimmy Butler's been a great player in this league for a long time. That's not surprising to anybody. There was a question about his fit when he was acquired by the Warriors. I think all of us have at least been pleasantly surprised, if not shocked, at how well the whole thing has fit in terms of basketball. But can I point out the thing that I don't think anybody thought was going to go well? Dude, could you imagine a better teammate? Imagine it. Like, look at the glue that is just oozing off of this guy with what we've seen so far in the locker room. You have a superstar basketball player. There, to me, there's three things.
Okay.
Number one, a superstar basketball player who had no problem walking in and going, I'll be Robin. And before you go, well, he's getting old. Yeah. Okay, he's getting old. He's younger than Batman. Okay? So that's point number one. Point number two, he has engaged in a relationship that is its own comedy show in practice and after games at a press conference, to the point where they have launched a new bobblehead with Jimmy and Buddy Hield as the two people sitting down at a podium, because they've got this whole act, Jimmy and Buttered.
They've got their own bobbleheads coming out. We're Buddy's bobbleheads.
My name is Buddy.
Right.
And then number three is apparently Jimmy Butler has decided, I'll be the one to show JK the way. I'll be the one to do that. Listen to this with regard to Butler and Jonathan Kuminga.
I just want to help JK be great. He's got so much just raw talent, and he's so aggressive. He's athletic. He's super smart, and I'm trying to teach him a little bit of what I see throughout the game. And we've been, kicking it, hanging out, watching film, and just working on our game together after practice, before practice, during practice. I know how great he wants to be and how great he can be. So it's now my job to help him fulfill that.
That's my job, he says. One more from Butler on Kuminga.
He will play like that because he has every single individual on this roster in this corner telling them to be aggressive, be who you are, and we'll kind of fall in line behind you and make sure that you have any and every opportunity to be great. Don't shy away from anything. You speak up. You're one of us. If we can talk to you any type of way, then you can reciprocate that and talk to us.
Did anybody see this coming with Jimmy Butler? Anybody? Remember, this is the awful human being who ruined everything in Miami, wouldn't get on a plane, had Pat Riley yanking beautiful hair out of his head. That's who this is. This is who we got?
Right.
I did not know that this is what, and I know people will go, oh, this is how it starts, but wait a minute. I don't really care what this looks like 5 years from now, because he's not going to be playing basketball anymore five years from now.
That's kind of the point. By the time it gets to that point, it will all be over. And if you want to look at each individual situation, you look at Chicago, where he came in and he wasn't the dude. They had Derrick Rose, and he eventually found his way to Minnesota, and he got there and he was playing with a bunch of guys that he didn't have a deep amount of respect for. And at every stop, he got to a spot where things weren't necessarily structurally sound enough to where he had to toe this line. And I'm not saying he has to here, but think about what he comes into. So you get traded to the Warriors, and you come into a place where they've won four titles. You've got Steve Kerr, who's won all the time as a player, as a coach, and he's a guy who's won at an unbelievable level. And you've got Steph and Draymond, who are... Draymond Green is Jimmy Butler times two as far as, like, alpha male, and, like, you're going to make sure that we do things our way. Steph Curry is one of the greatest players ever. So you come into this situation, and you win, and then you get into the offseason, and you do what you do, which is travel the world, and then you have everyone down to your place in San Diego, and you realize that you're not only allowed to be a team leader, they need you to be a team leader, and then the JK thing happens, and Jimmy Butler wants to win as much as, if not more than any other human being, and so you look at this team, and you think, all right, what can I do to make our team as good as possible? You're not going to help Steph Curry be a better shooter and a better leader. You're not going to help Draymond Green want to play harder and win more. If you're Jimmy Butler, you look at what can I do as a veteran and as a leader, and you look at Jonathan Kuminga, and you say, if I can get to JK, if I can reach him and get him to be the best player that he can be, whether or not it's 50 games or it's 2 years, whatever it is, I think that Jimmy Butler saw that as a great opportunity to truly lead. And so I'm really not that surprised. I'm pleasantly delighted by what I'm hearing and what we're seeing.
I mean, whether it's a surprise or not, I guess in the end doesn't even matter. What matters is that this is happening. And to me, it's another example of something that I've tried. It's very difficult to do, I think, but I've tried to make it kind of something that I use as a rule in my life, which is if I've never met a person or I don't know a person, I'm going to go ahead and make up my mind and my judgments once I have. Do you know what I mean? Like if you were to, back when we used to work at different places, if you were to tell me, dude, the boss at our place is just the biggest jerk. It's just an awful, awful human being. And I know you. I don't think you're a liar. I don't think you're a crazy person. I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm probably going to a certain degree, I'm going to believe this. But that very well may not be the experience that I have. I think the jury is still out on this, but take Rafi Devers, for example. You know, we had a line of people call us from Boston, including Dave Fleming's brother. And they're just like, this loser won't be a team player, and he won't this.
Is it Jonathan Papelbon you guys had
Papelbon
on?
Papelbon was out of his mind. He might have had a couple of pops. I have no idea. But then Rafi gets here, and he's like, where's my first baseman's glove? Yeah. Oh, by the way, if Chappie gets hurt, you need me to go play third? Sure. DH, first, or what y'all need? So, like, just it's another reminder, I find, to, like, make up our mind when you're having your direct experience with a person, because Jimmy Butler, I feel like, has been dragged through the media circus through the years a time or two. And I'm not even saying, like, maybe in some of those situations he was in the wrong. Maybe. But, like, he's got this reputation that now that he's on this team in this city and we're hearing from him every night, I don't find that reputation to be accurate at all.
It's not only a reputation, but there are facts in what he's done. And so I think that the reputation in different spots is well earned. It doesn't mean that when you come to a new situation with more veterans and older players than he is, and you add Al Horford into the mix and you're Jimmy Butler, you're not the OG on this team, not even close. So now you just get to come in and be Jimmy Butler. Get to the foul line and do what you do. And I heard it was either Draymond or Steph talking about just the way Jimmy plays. And he plays the right way all the time. He makes the smart play almost every time. He doesn't make bad shots. He doesn't, you know, do the wrong thing. He doesn't play selfishly. So you come into this situation. I do think at this point in his career, it's easier for him than it was in Miami, where you've got, you know, Duncan Robinson, and you've gotten Tyler Hero, and you've got all these pups, and you've got this leadership burden that maybe you don't want, and you've got a president of basketball, Pat Riley, who is exacting, as we know, and maybe rubbing you the wrong way. You come here, and it's Kerr and Dunleavy and Lacob, and it's Steph and Draymond, and it's, look, we've won championships, and we don't need you to come in here and be the alpha. Just come in here and do what you do. Play hard, defend, play smart, and lead, and make sure you pick on Buddy every chance you get. So I do think that this situation really suits him where he is in his career.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're not wrong. Different people can become different things when their surroundings are different and their perspective changes, and sometimes that comes with age or that comes with situations, right? Like Jimmy realizes that the curtain is starting to fall and all of that. So sure, I'll leave a bunch of room for that. I'm not going to say that what we're seeing here means whatever happened before didn't happen. I'm not an expert on things that have happened with Jimmy Butler before. I might have my thought on it. I did, and you remember this, and this was before he was a Warrior. So this wasn't some sort of a Warrior take, but I thought for sure when the whole thing was going down in Miami, I'm like, why is this all on Jimmy? Why? Like, Pat Riley does things a certain way that, oh, by the way, doesn't really work anymore. Pat Riley got mad at LeBron for bringing things on a plane. Like, what? Just, right? Relax. I understand that this didn't work with the Showtime Lakers. That was, like, 40 years ago. You know, like, relax a little bit. And maybe he can't because he's been doing it a certain way and he's super successful, but just because we hear somebody having a hard time somewhere doesn't mean that they're automatically wrong. Doesn't now mean that they were right either. I just think that there was a lot to that story that we probably didn't hear, and it gets very difficult as an individual to sort of win that PR battle with an entire team. We've watched that a lot. But Jimmy Butler arrives, and I remember all of our conversations, which was, yeah, look, really good player. And luckily, it's only for a short period of time.
Right.
Not a great teammate. Well, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'll tell you what I see right now. Great teammate. All caps. Great teammate. He's only been here for a matter of months, but he's thrown a perfect game as far as being a teammate.
No doubt.
So far.
No doubt. And just, I think the Jonathan Kuminga piece of it cannot be undersold, because Kuminga goes through what he does, which is, you know, you get DNPs, you have to fight for a contract you sign you probably don't love, and now, okay, go be a Warrior. And he signed the contract just a couple of days before you actually had to become a preseason Golden State Warrior, and now one game into it, it's a very, very small sample, one of 82, but the fact that your head coach is coming out and saying, yeah, JK, he's doing the right things. And Jimmy Butler is saying, yeah, he and I have had conversations and we're going to continue to work together to make sure that he can be the best that he can be. That couldn't be any possibly better than that. Like, sure, Steph is going to mentor him, but Steph's a different player. And Draymond can do the same, but Draymond is a different player. But if you're Jimmy Butler, Jimmy looks at Jonathan Kuminga and probably sees a lot of himself in JK. Like, all right, JK, you can become the player that you want, but do some things that I do. Get to the foul line and defend and make the smart play as often as you can. And so if he's going to stay under Jimmy Butler's wing, pun intended,
yeah,
then maybe he ends up sticking around, you know?
It's a good thing. Yeah. Wow, here's Draymond on Butler as a leader.
He's been a great leader since the day he showed up. We all heard all the talk about him last year. And that's not the guy who showed up to San Francisco. The guy who showed up to San Francisco is the guy we saw tonight. Great leader, encouraging teammates, telling guys what he see, making corrections, selling our team down and getting us good shots. You know, I had one turnover. He came over to me like, yo, man, we just got to get the ball. Get shots on goal. Don't turn the ball. Get shots on goal. You know, it's just that leadership. And then he's just a constant reminder. Like, he don't let you sulk. He don't let you drop your shoulders. He's going to be right there. Like, nah, man, this is what we're doing. We're not doing that, you know. And so, you know, continue to build. He'll be an all-star again this year. So, you know, it's good to see him back being Jimmy Butler that this league has grown to know.
I love it. I don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe the Warriors and Jimmy Butler a year from now will hate one another and we'll be all dragged through some sort of drama. I doubt it. And yes, this Warriors culture, obviously, because of Steph Curry and others, is very, very it's a tight ship, man. And so maybe it's just easier for Jimmy to fit in. Maybe this has only been a certain amount of time, but I agree with what Draymond just said there. You hear all of the noise, and then it's very difficult to not have these preconceived notions when somebody arrives. But he has absolutely not been the cover of the book at all. He has been way better than that.
And it's early, and you know, if you look at all
I'm
of
liking
his,
it early.
I'm loving it early. Yeah, you're nice to say that about it's a great Steiny callback, but when he's had trouble, it usually hasn't happened immediately, and it's happened over time. And I do think that if you look at the structure of all the places where he's wound up not being a permanent fixture or having things not work out, it hasn't been like this. And you come here, and ostensibly he left Miami because he wanted to get a contract, and they didn't want to give him one. So he comes here, boom, here's a two-year deal for humongous money, yep. And you're playing alongside two other Hall of Famers and a Hall of Fame coach for an owner who is hell-bent on winning. So, all right, Jimmy, welcome to the team. What do you think that you have to complain about? Let me think. I got two Hall of Famers next to me. I've got a coach with security. I've got an owner who spends. I've got an unbelievable building. I've got a staff and resources that will support me. I don't know if there's anything that I could be disgruntled about.
But there's a huge gap between like what you're sort of suggesting about being annoyed or disgruntled or angry, and then also all the way over here, stepping forward into leadership qualities that aren't necessarily called for. Like Jimmy could have also just been here and been like, well, how about like Kevin Durant? Jimmy could have just been like, I'm just here to ball, dude. I'm just here to put the ball in the hole. That's what I'm here to do. And I'll do it at an elite level. And I don't think Kevin did anything wrong on this aspect, but I didn't see him as this kind of a guy. I didn't see Kevin Durant doing comedy shows after games. I didn't see Kevin Durant taking young players under his wing in very tense moments and being like, I'm going to help navigate you through this. I need you to listen to me, right? If you don't want to listen to Steve, I need you to listen to me. And we're going to navigate like Kevin didn't do. And that's fine.
Yeah.
So that's not always, that's what I'm saying. Jimmy is doing what was asked and a lot more.
I also think that two things. One, Jimmy's more cut from that cloth where he wants to lead, and he's not just going to sit back and watch things go in a way that he doesn't think is right. And also, the KD team that he came into was veteran laden.
Totally.
It was, I mean, Steph and Draymond and KD, and I mean, you had a stacked roster full of veterans. Iguodala.
But have you seen KD do it anywhere?
No.
In his career.
He's not that guy.
And I think sometimes that has been maybe necessary.
Right.
It's probably
necessary
last year with Phoenix.
No doubt. And that thing was broken seven ways from Sunday. You know it better than anyone. Your good friend John Bloom does, you know, play-by-play for them. And so
he sent a text last night after watching KD play one time in Houston. And it was actually not a kind text. It was something along the lines of, I don't miss the lazy turnover passes.
Yep.
I was like, oh.
Well.
Okay. I didn't know there was that kind of a feeling with Kevin on his way out of town.
I get it, but like, if you want to go back all the way back to the Oklahoma City days when they had Harden, Westbrook, and Durant.
Yep.
And you look at those players now, and you go back to then, and you think, how did they not win two or three? And it's because Harden was the sixth man, and he's not much of a leader. Westbrook is the epitome of the, like, Russell Westbrook. There's got to be multiple I's in the spelling of his name. He's a great player, but he's not a leader. KD's a quiet guy. Serge Ibaka, the Rim Rocka, he's not a leader. So a lot of times when you look at teams, you've got to have a certain amount of that leadership construct. And even OKC last year, they had like seven or eight guys, and the majority of their team, they're all about the same age, and they have a great head coach. And so there wasn't any of those fissures or fractures. And I look at that with this team. If Jimmy's going to be a veteran leader for JK and maybe some of the other guys, well, now you may have action.
Steve Kerr, in just about 20 minutes, it's time for Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors made 17 three-pointers last night, which means it's a time for a donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Buddy Hield with 5, JK 4, Steph with 3, including that dagger in the fourth. And that is the first donation of the season for Triples for Autism, which makes sense because that was the first basketball game that the Warriors played. To make a donation to autism yourself or to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. Steve Kerr is in 20 minutes. We got all kinds of questions. We're here for your calls, 888-957-9570. I would like to sneak in a couple of minutes somewhere here, too. And we'll do it throughout the week as well. But this Tony Vitello hire by the San Francisco Giants is not lost on us. It's an interesting day. We're moving toward a football weekend. The Warriors opener was last night. Their home opener is tomorrow. But this is a massive story. And I bet many of you, if we gave you a picture of three people and we said, which one is Tony Vitello? You wouldn't know.
No chance.
You wouldn't know what to pick. And so, A, I suggest go find Greg Olson's podcast. And he had Tony on as a guest, and it just got released yesterday, which, way my brain works, was not an accident. But Tony is an incredibly impressive person to listen to. Does that make him a perfect hire? Does that mean they're going to win 100 games? I don't know any of these things yet. But it's very hard to listen to him and not get excited about what the Giants just did, which is something no one's ever done. Grab a guy out of college with no pro experience of any time, of any kind, and make him the manager of not just a franchise, but, my goodness, one of the big ones, franchises in Major League Baseball. It's a pretty historic thing. And to listen to him talk, he is an impressive guy. He is an impressive guy. Energetic, talks about accountability, forget individuality, like how to go win baseball games. I listen to him and I love it. I love what the Giants just did.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out, but just based on what I've heard, the podcast you shared and some of the things that I've read and the people I've talked to in Tennessee who were very close to the program, he is liked universally. And I always just wonder about somebody, and he's not just a total rah-rah guy.
No.
But when you're in college, you have to certainly motivate in a different way than you do in the pros. And when you're in the pros and it's 162 games and you're dealing with guys in their mid to late 30s and guys who are in their early 20s, you have to strike a certain chord of urgency with authenticity, and you have to have a certain amount of equanimity, even keeled. You can't just be like, we lost that game. I can't believe it. And then the next day it's a come from behind win. And it's like, oh my God, we're going to go party. So I wonder how he's able to strike that balance as a rookie coach, a younger coach, somebody who's never been in the pros. He's up against a very big challenge.
Well, a little more on that coming up in Steve Kerr in 18 minutes. It's Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, it's Jonathan Kuminga. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Wheeler and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
That's true. Once again, just nothing but facts.
Well, it's both true. We will have Steve Kerr, and it is his head coach.
Yeah, and each week in this particular time means 10 minutes from now. Steve Ooh. Kerr in 10 minutes, live on YouTube. Get over to YouTube, because it's one thing to listen to Steve Kerr, but it's another thing to look at him.
Oh, yeah.
To look at him right in the eye. And you can listen to each of his answers and see if his eyes are darting around and maybe he's lying to us.
No doubt.
I don't know when Moses Moody will be back. I mean, who knows?
And when you look at the YouTube feed, just focus on his feet, because they're going to be held to the fire now. Even after a 1-0 start.
I was a little worried about where
I know you were. I know you were.
Sounded a little bit like a fetish.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Actually, let's not
work on your material.
Go to the internet to look at Steve's feet. Let's just.
It's just because.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
They're going to be held to the fire mark. It didn't have to be fetishist.
I get it now.
I will work some of the blue material from time to time. Such as.
He deserved it.
Hey, John, try Uranus. That's out there as well.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, this was not one of those times.
Steve going to be. Hopefully, he'll be in his house again. Maybe right next to the fireplace.
Could be.
I don't know.
Although with this weather, maybe his feet will be, he'd be holding his own feet to the fire.
I mean, it is
cold out there.
It's getting a little chillier. I guess we're heading toward maybe a little bit of a wet weekend. Maybe, possibly.
That weekend is wet.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Thankfully, the Niners aren't home, or else, man, that ball would be just slipping out of Mac Jones's hands.
I don't think he has the same problem that Brocky Poo does.
Whoop. Anyway.
Anyway,
Steve Kerr in 8.5 minutes, and we are ready to rock, man. What a great start for the Warriors. I did just want to say this real quick, though, to people who are like, okay, so the Giants got a new manager, and I told you, like, there's a way, and this is not fair because I've not met the guy. I have no idea, but this is my perception after watching a lot of commentary and content from Tony Vitello. He's an Italian. He's the new manager of the Giants, and he comes from the University of Tennessee. So first of all, he looks good in orange, so that's exciting. But second of all, after listening to him talk, both the words that he used, the mannerisms, all of the stuff, Tony Vitello is Gabe Kapler without wanting to punch him. That's basically who this guy is. He's more energetic than Gabe, I think, but it's the detail-oriented nature. It's the very thoughtful about everything. The voice is not quite as deep.
Right.
But, like, there is sort of that, oh, my God, he almost looks a little bit like him. The perfectly manicured beard.
Yep.
Good-looking cat, about the same age.
Gabe's not quite as yoked out, but he's got some musculature.
No, yeah, he's not going to be on the cover of GQ, although, I mean, why not? But Tony's 47, Gabe's 50. But the whole way about him will just make you want to go, oh, this seems like a smart guy. Like, I'd hang out with that dude. I go out there to left field and get a super-duper burger with him. Gabe, you're like, what the hell's going on with this guy? Why is he putting thirst traps on Instagram? I don't think Tony's going to be putting thirst traps on Instagram. So that's a good thing.
Yep. And I mean, the key will be as a new manager,
the key
is to be just authentic, and you have to be authentic, but you also have to have a certain amount of gravitas. And when you come from college and you never played pro ball and you never managed pro ball, you can't come in. And I'm not saying he will, but you can't come in as a know-it-all. Gabe Kapler played in the league. He was in the front office. And so when he becomes the manager, and he's really, really smart, and he's got the spreadsheet, and he's got all these other things, he comes in with a certain level of expertise that Tony Vitello will not and cannot, because he never played in the league. He never managed in the league. He never coached in the league. I know he knows the league, and he knows baseball. And ultimately, baseball is baseball. Like, there's a pitcher, there's a hitter, there are nine fielders, there are bases, it's baseball. Well, like, can you teach these youngsters what the infield fly rule is?
Well, there's okay, there's that. But would you argue that is it about, as a manager, is it just about knowing baseball? Which, sure, he does. He gets it. Or are these roles more about knowing people?
It's people.
Well, like, I see, and I think from sport to sport, maybe it's a little bit different. Like, Kyle Shanahan, I actually think the perception of Kyle in front of a podium does not give people an accurate portrayal of who he is to his guys. His guys love Kyle Shanahan. I think he connects with his players really, really well. But at least the perception, and there is an importance to, Kyle is a brilliant play caller. Kyle knows how to put a game plan together that'll make a defensive coordinator's temples really, really hurt. So that matters in football. Game planning when it comes to baseball, basketball, sure, you got to have a game plan. But, man, when you're all together every night and on planes and you're doing this for good solid 6-7 month stretches for a season, I got to think that managing egos and people is as much about it as anything.
It's way more. Yeah. And it's funny, as you were laying that out, I was thinking about football and I had three names come to me, guys who are really, really smart offensive play callers, none of whom was really that good of a head coach. Chip Kelly came to San Francisco with an unbelievable resume, and he still is a good play caller. And he came here and they went 2-14, and he had everybody drinking smoothies, and he was not a leader of men. Norv Turner is one of the all-time great coordinators in history, but every time he's had the gig, he hasn't been able to hold the gig. And the other one was a former Raider coach named Lance Kiffin, a.k.a. Lane Kiffin, and he got fired with an overhead projector performance by then-owner Al Davis, rest in peace. But Lane Kiffin, as a college coach, is great. Urban Meyer, same thing. And Nick Saban, same thing. You come to the big leagues and the pros, and you can't do it the same way you did it there. And I'm not saying that Tony Vitello will, but when you come, especially in baseball, like you're saying, it's, all right, we're going to manage egos, we're going to manage the team, we're going to manage the lineup and the roster. We're going to do a lot of management of human beings and a lot less of, all right, we're going to go out there and we're going to hit the first pitch. You know, you got to be even keeled. And that's why I use the word equanimity, which is one thing. Steve Kerr joining us in 3 minutes. It's one thing that I think he's really, really good at.
Thank you, Howard.
Steve Kerr is super even-keeled.
You keep using that word. Isn't that Amon-Ra St. Brown's brother?
Yes, that would be equanimous.
Equanimous.
Equanimity.
Yeah. Close.
Yeah. I mean, if they had a third kid, maybe it would be equanimity. But that is basically what that is, where...
Do they have a third kid?
They might. The St. Browns?
I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
Is there a third St. Brown?
Probably.
Granny knows these
things. I can't remember his name right now.
I'm going to look it up.
It's another crazy name.
I was going to say, it's not Bill.
Well, no.
Well, that's what I always told my ex.
Osiris St. Brown.
Osiris St. Brown?
Yeah.
Okay. What does he do for a living?
Oh, he plays football, too.
He does?
He's just not as good as the other two.
Is he in the NFL? He's not in the NFL, is he?
No, I think he played college somewhere.
Okay. All right. As you were.
When you name your children, you can't go Amon-Ra Equanimous. Jim.
Osiris played at Stanford.
Yeah, oh. There you go.
Okay. And what's he doing now?
He doesn't play football anymore.
He's the Cooper Manning of the family.
Yeah.
All right.
According to his Instagram, he's in wealth management. Probably for his brothers.
Amon-Ra's wealth management. Yeah. Hey, Amon-Ra, you know that $30 million a year you're going to make? I can help you with that.
Let me play with a million of it. Let me manage a million of it.
You're hired.
Amon-Ra. Yeah.
Amon-Ra.
Totally.
Let's go. Sis boom ba. Anyway.
And that's where Major bag alert.
Major.
That's where Vitello can't be an Amon-Ra kind of manager. I don't think you can come in from college.
Well,
I mean, you're allowed to, but I look at this team and the personalities you've got. People from all over the globe, literally on this team, you've got vets, you've got pups, you've got a lot of other things that you need to shore up. So you come in here, I think, and you're more in the Buster Posey mode than you are in the Gabe Kapler mode.
We'll get some thoughts from Steve on this. Steve obviously played in the NBA for a long time, but when he became a head coach, he was coming from the broadcast side. And I got to think there's so many NBA players who do that now. Jason Kidd, Steve Nash. Where you're just
JJ Redick.
Yeah, it's just like, poof, you're a coach. And there's got to be some sort of like learning curve or changing of your stripes, if you will, to make that work kind of on the fly. Interesting conversation that we're having here on 95.7 The Game, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Steve will be along here in just a moment. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. So, yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.